Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a Scoot flight from the Gulf.
At LAX. Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rate can fly now. Here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. How you going, mate? Taking a sip of a giant beer there.
I've got a big fuck-off beer. I've been given a lot of beer-related and just booze-related gifts because I'm back on it now, and I thought I'd give one of these cans a go, and it's like an 8.8% can. I've had three sips. I could be dead. I might not make it through this.
Is it a two-can Stein? Did you tip two cans in that?
No, it's a 500ml can. It's like a pommy can.
I feel quite natural in your hand.
Yeah.
The 500 mil. It's just like a monster.
Anything that's got a red stripe around the top showing you there's even more value in this can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Than you previously remember. That's what I'm all about, value. Bigger cans. Man, my high school girlfriend, she was from the UK and her parents were in the Air Force and they moved down to Australia. And the first week he was here, her dad, great bloke, went to a bottle shop. And he didn't know anything about Australian beers. So in the UK, he drank John Smith's, which is like a green and red with a bit of gold, I think, on it somewhere.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
And so he just spotted VB and went, similar colour, probably not too different. Grabbed a slab of cans and got home and went back angry. Told the guys that they were fucking with him. They gave him these mini cans. And they're like, no, sir, it's just that's the size.
He's upset about the size of the can.
Yeah, well, in the UK, I had no idea how big the fucking things are.
Well, I've drunk VB before and I found it quite a fucking relief that it was only a small can. There was no more VB. In fact, a throwdown of VB is a better option than a can because you don't have to drink as much.
You've had that, yeah, the throwdowns, the little hand grenades.
Yeah, yeah.
For those that haven't seen it before. The world's most highly preserved beer. I used to work at CUB, so I know the facts.
Hence the fucking headaches.
Yeah.
After one or two.
It's not great. But anyway, I'm drinking again. How are you, mate?
Oh, good on you, mate. Yeah, I'm all right. I've been at the beach a fair bit this summer. It's been pretty good.
Fuck,
we were supposed to go away. Didn't, obviously. And went to the beach every day. It's pretty good. A couple of things that I don't like. The authoritative nature of lifeguards. I don't appreciate that. They get on a megaphone and just say, you know, there's blue bottles in the water. If you don't want to get stung, just don't go in. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I think you'll find it's pretty simple. Just don't go in. Like, why are you admonishing us? We're just fucking sitting on the beach, man. They love that shit. You're like, I'm fucking paying you. You're a council worker. I'm fucking paying you. Be polite when you're talking, especially through a megaphone.
No, but surely, especially Sydney beaches, they're dealing with a high level of just fuckwits that don't know what they're doing out in the water. They're probably sick of it. And I also think Bondi Rescue has probably given them a bit of a ego boost.
Oh, but that's their job. They wouldn't have a job. If everyone was like Bondi Rescue, wouldn't exist if they just placed one lifeguard down the south end and told tourists not to go swimming in that little shit bit.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a show. Obviously, they're not doing that. They're not that concerned with safety.
Yeah.
More about the GoPros on a surfboard and paddling out and showing your muscles and shit. But regular lifeguards just fucking, if no one got stung by a blue bottle, no one ever drowned, no one ever got in trouble, you wouldn't have a job. So take it easy. Show some humility.
Are there lifers? Are there like surf? Are there surf lifesaver?
Newbie types?
Yeah, that have just been in there for 30 years or something? Because there's definitely a pecking order. down there.
Oh, for sure. That's why the casting of Newmy in Baywatch was such a masterstroke of modern television. He was that bald one.
Oh, I'd never seen a second of it.
You haven't seen Baywatch? Like, he's in the intros.
I've only ever seen half the intro, and I wasn't looking for a bald bloke when I watched it.
Well, he's in that.
Oh, is he?
He's diving off this. You know, they've got those stupid fucking orange things. Okay, he chucks that and dives off the side of a speedboat unnecessarily.
I didn't even know there were blokes in there. You could tell me Godzilla's in the background in one of the shots. I wouldn't have picked it up. It's not what I was looking for.
I started watching it for the Hoff. He's a very special actor of our time.
Well, he might end up on a future Patreon episode of Land Larrikins. He's a bit of a loose unit, the old Hoff.
He's pretty good.
I love it.
He doesn't mind a tipple himself.
Fuck yeah. Well, mate, I've not gone to the beach at all. Being back in Melbourne, it's currently the middle of summer, and it's a beautiful, windy, rainy 17-degree day. So,
all right. Oh well, sucked in. You know what else is at the beach a lot, and probably everywhere, but you can see them at the beach? Tattoos. Must be no sunburn anymore. It's just fucking tattoos. Australians got to be the most tattooed people, in the world, I would think. So many tats.
They're just making it hard for the skin cancer specialist going, so, hey, mate, you've got a pretty nasty melanoma. Oh, no, my bad. I thought it was that. That's actually just the end.
It's a gecko's eye. Yeah.
The end of a motorbike flame. I thought it was spreading. Yeah, a lot of tats. We're two clean skin boys. I don't know how we're going to just be weird.
I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of regret, because when your skin turns to crepe paper and mine's on its way from being out in the sun too much, tats, no fucking good. It's a green splotchy fucking mess, isn't it, when you're 50-odd?
Do you get skin checks?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Of course.
I only just started getting them up in Brizzy the other year. So every time I turn up, they just cut some extra shit out.
Yeah, right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, I'm fairly careful with this. The other thing at the beach, togs right up the clacker.
Yeah, dick stickers are back.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know.
Like, anyway, everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
I hope it passes. But it's just, it's weird. Like, you sit down and take your thongs off or something, someone's doing it next to you, and you turn around, there's an ass right in your face, just with a little fucking jigger up the crack. Oh, man, this is too much.
Yeah.
I'd rather they not do that.
Yeah.
Weird.
Man, you've got to go to, like, a beach in Dubai or something. That's the only place you'll be relaxed. There's no waves, so there'll be no surf lifesavers. No tattoos are allowed out. There's no dick togs.
I love the waves. No, it's not dick togs. It's women do it. It's young teenage girls with their togs just yanked right up the date.
No, but blokes too. Blokes are those.
Oh, blokes.
Man, Tony Abbott, I think he brought it back.
Not at my beach. Oh, if they're in those stupid surf boats, they somehow think that's an advantage to stick to the seat, to just yank the togs up your freckle. But no, generally, I haven't seen any blokes at my beach.
I drove past a P-plater yesterday, come back from a parent's place in the western suburbs of Melbourne. P-plater in a Ford Ranger with two jet skis on the back. He's in the wrong town. I said, keep going north, mate. Get on the Hume Highway. Yeah. Don't stop until Queensland. You'll be embraced there. Man, I've done pretty much nothing. I start back at radio soon, and I've done nothing. Just had time off time off, a toddler running around that we don't let watch TV. So
yeah, it's not time off.
Man, he was meant to have his first day in daycare. Well, like, fuck yeah, he'd had five or six orientation classes. That's because he's only ever...
Too many.
Well, he'd only ever hung out with us, really. Well, he'd had two, then we went away for a few months to Brizzy, came back. They wanted him to have a couple more. And then it was like, great, we're dropping him off his first full day. We dropped him off, and 2 minutes later I got a phone call from them saying he's got hand, foot, and mouth. And I was like, well, that must have come on pretty fucking thick and fast in the last 3 minutes, because that's when I last saw him, 180 seconds ago, but I'll come back. And he had a fucking tiny dot on his index finger, went to the doctor. The doctor said, yeah, that's probably it.
Really?
Can't go there for a week, and he can't play with any other kids, and he can't play at a playground. So just...
The fuck is hand?
Pretty much stage four fucking lockdown again, and the cunt had nothing. Nothing popped up. All our mates' kids had it. Scabs everywhere. They're fucking bleeding from the eyeballs and arsehole. They're in dire straits. I think he just had a nick on his finger. They were just sick of him. They sent him
home. Jesus Christ. What the fuck is that? That's a hundreds of year old it's like saying your kid's got rickets or something. I'd never,
yeah.
Like it certainly wasn't around when I was a kid, or in the last. That's popped up in the last 5 years, I reckon. My kid's never got hand, foot, and mouth. It's a fucking sheep disease, isn't it?
Really?
I don't know. It's an animal thing. It's not fucking. I think it's bullshit. It's like wisdom teeth.
Turns out it's a good way to skim a few kids out of your class.
Fuck yeah! It's all about the cash. Follow the money.
Well, you didn't have to pay because he technically hadn't started. He'd only been there for 2 minutes. So that's what's worse is I think maybe he's just annoying. You know,
there'll be fucking something. They had too many kids there or something. They thought we'll get rid of one.
Yeah,
let's do a pinprick on the finger. Get him the fuck out of here.
Well, I'll tell you when he wasn't at daycare, and that was the day after I started drinking again, which was so we recorded a bunch of episodes before Christmas, and they played out until last week. But we're back
live,
recording these middle of Jan, live as you can get. I didn't drink until Jan 2nd again. I mentioned it on earlier episodes just to annoy some friends of mine. Fuck, you can really find out, good test to see which one of your friends are alcoholics based on when you finish your year of drinking and at 12:01 a.m. messages start coming in on the phone. Going for beers?
Yeah.
Come for a beer? No, mate, I'm waiting until tomorrow. They fucking livid. But got maggot, real maggot. At the Great Northern Hotel.
And you had a kid the next day.
No, Luch was kind enough. I said, I haven't pulled this in a year, so I'm going to need to sleep in. Took a few sleeps, probably 2, 3 p.m. I felt all right, but it was a good 11-hour sesh. One of those sessions too where I'd forgotten, my mate told me the next day, he said, remember that shirtless bloke came up to you? And I said, nah. He came up holding a phone with me on it saying, you're Nick Cody? And I said, nah. Got the wrong bloke, and I just fucking wound him up, and he apparently was getting quite angry.
He was inside a pub.
Yeah. He goes, you're Nick Cody. And I go, man, there's a lot of blokes.
With no shirt.
No, we're out in the beer garden.
Oh,
but I was blind, but he was very blind, and he just kept saying, you're Nick Cody, and I was just drunk going, nah, mate, it's not me. A lot of brown hair, red-bearded blokes getting around, a bit puffy, you know. It's not exactly... It's not a unique look.
Once again, Melbourne really showing that continental class, aren't they? Like beer gardens. We've got beer gardens here, plenty. Weather's quite nice. I've never seen a guy in no fucking shirt.
Oh, fuck off.
Unless he's just had a fight and he's on his way out.
Well, unless he's Brazilian and he's walked in a linen shirt with only the bottom button done up. These cunts that are pretty much shirtless in every pub in Sydney. It's just one button's holding it together. Anyway.
Mate, I'll tell you who... Tell you who else is a fan of Nick Cody.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Wiki something online. There's a file.
Yeah.
I believe it's disappeared. But there's some facts about the Nick Cody and definitely you. It says Nick Cody is an American actor and comedian.
Hold on.
He can mostly be seen.
Sorry. Can you go through those again? What am I?
Oh, yeah. Nick Cody is an American actor and comedian.
Yeah, I'll take that.
He can mostly be seen doing comedy movies as well as performing live stand-up on many of the big shows.
Fuck yeah. This is like an ESL class, isn't it, that's written this?
Well, I'll tell you what the highlight of the entire file is. By observing his videos and pictures, so you've been triangulated here, he can be as tall as 5 feet and 7 inches in height. There you go.
Oh, no, that's on the internet. That means I'm at best 4'10".
That's internet height. They've spotted your built-up shoes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we all know Havaianas have a fucking massive wedge.
He's Nick Cody was born in the year of the late 80s.
Oh, yeah?
Even though his birth details are not featured anywhere, we can estimate that he can be about 35 years old as of 2020.
Well, hey, you know what?
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, I'll cop that. They're only a couple years ahead on their estimation, but it has come down. That year of no drinking has brought down, because I remember at the start of last year, I got offered an audition for a jolly man between 40 and 45.
Sick.
So the year of no booze has brought down my look to 35. Not 33, my actual age, but we are working towards it, and I reckon this 8.8%er is going to knock it right back up into those fours.
Baby steps, buddy. And as a closer, it says, and this is where I assumed you had something to do with it. It's because you're one of those guys. there's absolutely zero information on whether Cody has a girlfriend or not. He may or may not be single. Ooh, hello, ladies. That's more marketable, isn't it?
More kidding!
Makes you think, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what, for the last 5 years, I reckon, the only time people have slid into my DMs are gay dudes.
Oh, yeah?
Asking if I'm actually married or not.
All right.
Yeah.
With what as a motive?
Just trying to root me.
Anyway, we better crack on, mate. We've been prattling on for some time. Let's get stuck in. Before we do, I'll tell you one thing, and this is a fucking interesting trivia that may interest people with a penchant for plane information. There have been more commercial plane deaths in 2020 than in 2019, despite a sharp drop in flights due to COVID. So how's that?
What were the plane crashes in 2020? Is that what happened? Was it Ethiopian Air?
No, it wasn't. Not a bad guess, though, because it sounds like a big one. This is a firm illustration of how to massage the stats. Of the 299 souls lost, right, nearly a perfect game, 176 were in one hit when Iran shot down a Ukraine International Airlines flight in January.
Yeah. So. No, I was trying – fuck. I've typed in 2020 plane deaths and that's popped up. That's my fault.
Yeah, that'd be number one by a mile. They're planning – they fixed it, though. They're planning giving $150,000 to everyone who died, maybe staple a check to their collars or something. I don't know. In another incident, 98 were clocked up in one hit too when a Pakistan International Airlines flight crashed into Karachi.
Yeah.
So human error.
Did one bloke survive that one?
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
Two passengers. Yeah.
Really?
I saw him interviewed on the news, yeah. Fair fucking effort.
Oh, wow. Well, they passed out drunk because that's how you survive a crash.
Relaxed.
Real relaxed. Hard to do. Hard to fake.
Oh, geez, I'm having a look at this. Yeah, there's a fair few there.
Yeah, I mean, having said that, though, 86 accidents in 2019 down to 40 in 2020, so it becomes a quality over quantity debate. Yeah. Someone's cooked the books for a cheap headline. I was fooled.
Yeah, but that's – fuck, they got off to a hot start, though, because that Ukraine International Airlines flight, that was 8th of January.
Oh, yeah. They must have thought, we're in here. We're going to fucking smash the record. 2001 all over again.
Step aside, 2001. Big dogs are here. 2020, woof, woof.
Anyway, so our incident, right, can we set our minds back to September 9, 2014?
What a great story it is as well.
Oh, it's excellent. It's Virgin Flight VA449, Brisbane to Darwin, leaving at 0935 hours.
Yeah.
Good old Brisbane to Darwin.
I think now that's where we do have to look for our current, like, because people always ask, hey, you're going to run out of stories. People aren't flying internationally anymore. I reckon a Brisbane to Darwin or a Brisbane to Cairns, this is where we're going to get our new, you know, this is the Sydney to Phuket. This is a Manchester to Spain level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Patreon picks up, realistically, I'd like to just get a flight attendant on staff. Yeah, you know what? give us some guff live. Do a live cross to a flight attendant. It'd be fucking – you must be getting sent more than me because you're in charge of the social media, but I get sent personally probably one average a week.
Yeah.
Hey, check this out. And it's just some fuckhead. And you go, oh, I hadn't heard of that.
There's heaps coming through. Keep sending them on Instagram at midflightbrawl or midflightbrawlpod@gmail.com. We're going to do a big mailbag edition on Patreon in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be reading through the messages. There's some fucking hot stuff. So thanks for all the tip-offs. We do appreciate it.
But good for Brisbane to Darwin, traditionally the origin and destination of Queensland criminals wanting to start afresh. I mean, there used to be, on that particular flight, there used to be a deed poll. All the flight attendants were JPs who could help you with your name change. There you go. Just start again. Darwin is home to more Joe Blogs than anywhere in the world.
How many? Yeah, you reckon a few John Citizens getting around up there in the NT?
Oh, heaps of John C. Citizen.
Yeah. Hey, mate, your resume's got a 15-year blank spot here as an adult. What were you up to?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Jesus-type figures. You hear about them as a baby and then they roll in at 27 or whatever.
Oh, fuck yeah. Not to be trusted. Yeah, what were you doing?
Do you reckon planes landing in the Northern Territory also highest level of just those red, white and blue stripy bags being used as luggage?
Oh, Kiwi Samsonite.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of that on the carousel, yeah. That and toolboxes.
Oh, yeah.
Fair bit of Makita.
I told on an earlier episode of this about getting on a flight once from, I think it was Brisbane to Cairns to Weeper in far north Queensland, and a guy had a fucking Stanley knife, and he said, "Oh, I work at the mines." They said, "Yeah, mate, all right."
Ah,
I just let him through. So,
man, we'll fucking cop this. I mean, what a turnaround though for Darwin. Like it used to. Now it's a tourist destination. So I see brochures in racks now saying "Escape to Darwin," which used to be what your dad said if you came home from the pub with a bit too much blood spatter on your fucking singlet. Now Darwin trip, it's a major prize in a raffle. What's happened? Well, it's gone fucking mad.
There's a bike stuck under the front of your Commodore.
Yeah.
Hey, mate. off to Darwin. Escape to Darwin.
Yeah. Anyway, our protagonist today is Stephen Boyd Jones. And the fact that I'm stating his middle name here says a bit. And he's on his way to Darwin.
Boyd.
I only know your middle name because I guessed it was your dad's. You know someone's middle name, there's something fucking wrong.
Mm.
Or it's your kid. Guess how many hours to the nearest hour in the 4-hour, 10-minute flight before there was a disturbance?
I'd like to lock in. I won't even phone a friend. Could I lock in 3, Eddie? How many?
2.
Oh.
Ruined Christmas.
2?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm after. Should have phoned a friend.
Well, 2 hours in, right? Stephen's, you know, he's just sitting there minding his own business, which is code for, you know, minding your own business.
2 black rats on the plastic tray.
There's some conflicting evidence here, which you and I both found, but I've got someone in front of Stephen made the mistake of reclining his seat.
I read in another article that his knee got hit with a drinks trolley. Either way,
yeah, right.
That's
more.
You don't need those two back to back.
Oh, you don't. I mean, it's one of life's mysteries which of those it is, and we'll never know.
I've got a feeling if you're about to kick off on a plane, that's just the spark. Whatever happens on the plane is the spark. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened to you on the ground.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There's no well-adjusted calm unit gets on board and a kid puts snot in their hair and they go, "I'm fucking killing everybody."
Oh, fucking oath. It's the preceding years of sadness that lead people to do exactly these things. The passenger, like, he's I think it might be the reclining of the seat thing. I'm hoping both, but he definitely, he didn't appreciate the seat. So he grabbed the seat and just shook the shit out of it.
Great.
And a flight attendant has intervened at this stage, and Steve said, "I'll kill you, you fucking slut."
Oh, gee. Steve, I was about to be on Steve's side. I told you that story about coming back from Singapore with my wife, and my son at the time would have been 9 months old or something. Overnight flight, and another flight, Singapore to Melbourne, got cancelled, so everybody got pushed onto our flight. It was fucking rammed. I was in a middle seat, which never happens.
Ooh.
That never happens. So that's the little thing that has made me angry before getting on board. You're now in a middle seat. Motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
I had our meals because my wife was trying to breastfeed our son, all of our meals on my tray, on my seat's tray, and all of our drinks. So it's just rammed. The guy in front does not see what's happening behind him, just threw the seat back.
Yep.
And some drinks and food went on me, and I fucking punched the chair. Oi, cunt. You fucking cunt. And my wife's like, "You were going to get this plane turned around."
Wow.
And then, I've told the story on here before, I'm sure.
Oi, cunt. You opened up with "Oi, cunt." I don't remember that part.
Yeah, punched the chair. Oi, cunt.
Yep.
And then try to pay the person in front of him using the seat-to-seat chat $100 to just recline their seat at speed and knock his drinks onto himself. That was 2019, and another one of the array of reasons why I had last year off booze. Anyway.
Yeah.
Chin, chin.
You're back. Hopefully see some more of that form soon. But anyway, so he's kicked off with, "I'll kill you, you fucking slut. I've killed before." So with language and a resume like that, little wonder he's off to Darwin.
That's very aggressive. I do appreciate the seat shake though. Because we get sent a lot of videos. There's a massive account called Passenger Shaming.
Oh yeah.
On Instagram, which is great.
It's very good.
So many people just being fucking pigs in the sky, using their toes to go through the in-flight entertainment. And there were one I saw
that's disgusting.
Just a guy with gangrene on his just like he had a pussy wound and the pus is just going down his calf. He's got a tiny Band-Aid on it. Filthy. Kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, Steve, you got to hold up before you threaten the staff. You don't do that. You keep your threats and your violence to those that have wronged you, specifically the person in front that reclined without checking.
Oh, Jones, though, what an excellent name for it. Sounds like it's already been changed.
Oh, do you reckon he got on early? Like there's airports in Europe where you can clear US customs before you fly to the US?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
To ease traffic. Yep. So, yeah, when you go through it in whatever, it happened in Dublin, you go through and then you're already technically in the States. Do you reckon he was on one of the flights where they did the old deed poll early? Come over. What do you want?
If that were a choice here, most people would already be in Darwin as soon as they'd committed the crime. Yeah, fucking don't worry about it. I'm in Darwin.
Good alibi. Couldn't have been.
Did you know there's one in every 243 Australians are called Jones?
Whoa.
That's quite a lot. One in 18 in Wales. As opposed to Cody, which I looked up, one in 227,000 people worldwide are called Cody.
Yeah.
As a surname, that is. The unisex first name Cody.
Oh, hold on. Are those numbers based on surnames or first names?
Surname.
Yeah.
The first name, that's a different fucking story. If you possess a girl boy name, it's not when a life's head starts, is it? You're probably going to go missing. If your first name's Cody, you've got to ask, is it a boy or a girl?
Yeah. But good news, one in 200,000, less chance of accidentally fucking a cousin, you know?
Yeah, probably. Oh, given that you're not from Wales as well.
Yeah, if you're a Jones in Wales, I wouldn't roll the dice in Kilkenny in Ireland, where probably every one and a half people is called Cody.
The stats for Heggie's a little more scant.
Oh, yeah. Where's that even from? Is yours made up?
Scotland.
Yeah.
The most recent stats I found for Heggie's, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, the internet. They're in Canada, for example, 1921 in Canada, 100 years ago, occupations, men, 81% of Heggies were farmers. Top female occupation, wife. That used to be a job. Now it's an oppressive burden inflicted upon women by the patriarchy. I don't want to be unfair though. Like soon after this, wife was referred to as unpaid domestic duties.
Yeah.
And in anyone's language, that's a fucking slap in the face.
Yeah. That's a real negative spin on that term.
More recently, of course, it's a form of heroism known as mummy blogger.
Yeah.
Some of your friends.
Times have changed for the better. They will be soon, now that I'm on the Fox. I'll let you know as soon as I speak to a mummy blogger.
Oh, man, I can't wait for the – this is a – like Fox is a step. It's more people listen, isn't it, to your new job or not?
Yeah.
Less Brisbane people, obviously. But Melbourne, for all its advances, they still fucking love commercial radio, don't they?
Yeah.
Like it's the pinnacle, not only of comedy in Australia, like that is the, you know, that's Valhalla for a comedian to become a radio host. But
you know what's nice? It's finally shut every fucking relative up at Christmas.
Oh, why?
Well, you can do everything in comedy, and they're like, "But what are you doing now? What's your job?" And you go, "Fox." They go, "Okay, we know that." You know?
All right. I think that used to be the way for, like in the past, it was for actors and stuff. They go, well, fuck, if you're so good, why aren't you on Sale of the Century?
Yeah.
That sort of chat. So, Jones.
I'm Wheel of Fortune. I'm Adriana Exenides.
So Jones has continued on his way to Darwin with a plane full of other criminals. Only by now, he's been convinced to move to the back of the plane, where no one can see what he's plotting next.
Also, I assume on that Brisbane to Darwin flight, he probably wasn't the first or last person to shake a seat and say, I've killed someone before. It's probably whack-a-mole for the poor flight attendants on that.
Yeah.
You've put out one
spot
firing.
He just said it the loudest.
Oh, fuck, hold on. A few rows back, it's happened again. He's whispered, it is all right. Well, you know who helped. You know who helped move him.
No.
Crew on board the flight. This is who helped move him. Crew on board the flight with the help of an off-duty Northern Territory police officer.
Oh, right. Excellent.
moved him to another area of the plane. I love that. I love that in the article, another area of the plane. Like, it's a Boeing 737. There's no other area. It's fucking one area.
There's no curtain anymore for smokers. Yeah.
But if you're in row one, you can hear row 30 if he's saying shit like, I've killed before. There's no, unless you rammed him in the toilet and sticky taped the door closed.
Yeah. He's not getting his own area.
He's in the area. Unless you put him in the cockpit.
In a bit of an oversight, right, they've put him next to an unaccompanied 10-year-old boy.
Why not?
And then they thought, oh, shit, hang on. That's the kid who's on his own.
maybe it's like a scared straight. Like maybe the 10-year-old had a fucking rat's tail or something.
Yeah, coming.
This will sort this kid out. Stephen Boyd Jones. Go talk to him about where life can go. You know?
See this, son? This is who you could be. They thought, oh, shit, hang on. We better ask Jonesy to go back to his own seat. He's not going to like this. And he didn't. He said, I'm not moving. And furthermore, and this is a direct quote, I'm going to snap this boy's neck.
Jesus, Stephen. Stephen.
He's in character for your thing.
You know, please tell me you found out he wasn't whistling Dixie. He had something with him on the flight. Did you see this?
What? I haven't got to that. I can't remember. What was it?
It was later discovered.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that for sure.
The 45-year-old had allegedly smuggled a 20-centimetre steak knife on board in his hand luggage, which, I'll be honest, hold on. They've said smuggled. You can't put that on him, right?
Yeah.
You've got to put that on airport security who's watching the x-ray when the carry-on went through.
Fucking oath you do, yeah. 21 centimetres according to my intel.
I've only had a few flights this year, but I reckon in the last 12, 18 months, the security at the airport getting a little bit looser on the, like, whoever's watching the screen.
Oh, yeah, in the changeover, you can just walk through. They don't stop you anymore. Put the chain across, whatever.
Yeah, they're recording TikTok videos and shit while something that's got Acme's written on it. Acme written on a box is just fucking rolling through.
Remember those dudes a couple of years ago put the meat grinder through in Sydney Airport?
Oh, fuck.
Fucking just checking in. Not even checking in. I'm taking hand luggage, a fucking meat grinder. Yeah, hang on. Something's wrong here.
And it's, I love the cops too say, we uncovered a terrorist plot. It's like, no. These are the dumbest cunts on the planet.
Yeah.
They try to check in a meat grinder as hand luggage. You didn't uncover anything.
Oh, man.
You were just there.
When it comes to snapping a boy's neck, though, you've got to keep that sort of thing to yourself. For the rest of us, it goes unsaid. We'd really like to snap a boy's neck, if for nothing else, just to see if it can be fucking done. I mean, the neck has a lot of sinew.
Yeah.
I reckon it's not as easy as we'd like it to be. Otherwise, it'd be far more common. Like you always say about beheadings, not a clean cut, is it?
Mm.
Machete in a backswing, far cry from a fucking guillotine, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't know if you've seen little kid like your kids, Heggy, how old? 10 and 8 or something. They're still fucking flexible. Like my dude could fall off the roof and he'd just roll for a bit and have a laugh. They just,
yeah.
I don't know how you snap that. I don't think anything's hard enough to break.
Mm.
I think they're still all like technically a liquid.
They're still drinking milk and stuff. imagine that though, like depositing your boy at the departure gate in Brisbane, sending him off to spend a week with your ex de facto on the top end. You're like, oh, will I be all right on the plane, Mum? Of course you'll be all right, son. It's only a 4-hour flight. What could go wrong? I know it's Darwin, but it's not like they're going to seat you next to a violent lunatic whose check-in luggage was a fucking toolbox full of future murder weapons and he'll offer to snap your neck for you because he's angry about something else. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. So
just text Braden, see you in the NT. Lol, lol, lol.
Oh, yeah. That campaign got pulled or not?
No, it's still going.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw a sticker on the back of one of those. You know, a Land Cruiser owner that really wants to know, they want everybody to know that they've used it for travel.
Oh, yeah.
They had one of the big CU in the very small NT, so it looks like cunt.
Yeah.
And then but it's unofficial merch. I don't think the state's selling it.
But did the state not use that as a ad campaign?
I think they used it for an ad, but they're not selling stuff with it on there or?
Right.
No.
Imagine that getting green lit, like a sticker that says CUNT. What's
wrong with that?
A fair bit.
It's better than fucking blowing up indigenous artifacts to get red dirt over to China. Sell a few stickers with cunt on there.
Nearly everything is better than that, but it doesn't mean it's a great idea to have cunt stickers all over your car.
I'm just going with the lesser of two evils, mate.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's all put rude words on everything, T-shirts and the like, and just get kids saying cunt all over town.
Again, you haven't been to Phuket or Bali. The little kids that come around with the big boards that have all of the people will send them to you now at Heggie Luke on Instagram. Send them directly to him because I own some, so I don't need to see photos. The little wristband, the hand-woven wristbands that have like up the bum, no baby.
Oh, Christ.
Just shit like that written on there.
Yeah. My brother one time, right, he got given for Christmas by his neighbour. It was Bundaberg rum T-shirt.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Bundaberg rum. It's the same logo, but when you look closer, it said, bang your bird num. And then the dude, Gold Coast, like for fucking years later, he kept saying... He kept saying, how come you're not wearing the T-shirt? He's like, fuck, man, I'm a school teacher. I'm not wearing a T-shirt out in public that says bang your bird num.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
This is? Fucking hell. Anyway.
I like any T-shirts like that. Fuck.
Oh.
Jesus.
Terrible. I can't stand it.
There's a good thing. For people listening, if you haven't been to a lot of live stand-up, if you're at some sort of showcase night where there's a bunch of different comedians on, if somebody walks out in like a fucking joke T-shirt, mentally just write off the next 5 to 10 minutes. You're about to see some absolute shit.
I got advised early on by a prominent legendary comedian to stop wearing plain coloured T-shirts and start wearing funny T-shirts because you've already done a joke before you get to the microphone. And what I should do is wear one like a Mr. Happy, like Mr. Man, but Mr. Happy, because you're not that happy.
No.
And that'd be really funny as a joke. You should do that. I said, no, I'm all right.
Nobody said that to you.
Yes, they did.
No.
Yeah, they did. I'll tell you later who it was, but I'm not fucking saying it here.
Can I have a guess?
No. No. Later you can.
Was it this bloke? Was it that bloke?
No, no. It wasn't that bloke.
Fucking quick work on the toy there.
Wasn't one of the big three.
Yeah.
If that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Anyway. So instead of this, because they weren't, you know, Jones wasn't happy about having to go back to the original seat where someone reclined and or he got hit in the knee with a drinks trolley. So they moved the boy.
Yep.
And left Steve at the back.
Yep.
Stephen has then, someone else has chimed in and Stephen's grabbed the shirt of another passenger who obviously stuck his unwanted nose into Steve's business. A good Aussie shirt front, like Victorian footballers ridiculously do to each other rather than just punching like normal people.
Yeah, as a kid, AFL kid, but the jumper punch that you grab the collar and just shake them back and forth so it looks like you're just shaking a human instead of just getting some cheeky shots in at the jaw, and you think that's a good way of hurting someone. And then you just showed me NRL best fights, and it's fucking...
It's more honest.
Pretty much a curb stomp.
Yeah.
Put your teeth on that.
In their dugout, they demand a gutter. No need for one, but we've got a gutter here so we can fucking do the Chelsea smile on someone.
By the way, just quickly, can we talk NRL versus AFL off-season? We've got the one AFL player that's been very grubby, allegedly. Sending things to people. But this one I found, the first two things that came out at the start of the new year, Richmond Tigers, AFL team, two out of the last 3 years, grand final winners. The two headlines, this is an AFL versus NRL off-season. Richmond confirmed reports that coach Damien Hardwick is in relationship with a club administrator. People down here were fucking losing their minds.
Why?
That he left his wife to hook up with somebody that he worked with. And you think that's probably the worst thing a former athlete or a current athlete can do. And then you see Mitchell Pearce's full statement on sex scandal that ruined his wedding. You go,
yeah,
they've done it again.
Nothing. <That's> nothing. You got nothing down there. Grow up. Big boy shit.
The day before his wedding, allegedly sending sexts.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, it's like a virtual bucks, isn't it? Just get it out of your system. It's like when bucks go to strippers and shit. It's revolting.
Oh, yeah, I hated that. At my bucks party, no strippers at the bucks. And I had one mate that was just, I think he was there just for that. Very disappointed. Because I think people think that's a thing, like you get it out of your system as if, as you said before, get it out of your system as if you do a grubby thing and then you go, well, that's done now.
Think of that again. Yeah. Tick. Same reason bucks go to fucking go-karting and golf and horse racing and shit. You go, oh, the dragon's never going to let me do this stuff ever again. I better do it all now in one 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Well, don't get married if that's your fucking shit.
Much like crime shows, Bucks Party never go to a second location.
Never go to a second location ever.
Yeah, I know. Much better chance of survival.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's happening in life, no second location. Anyway, I digress. I'm maggot.
The shirt front thing's always, it's always fucking impressed me. My favorite ever, I don't know if you've seen this, my favorite t-shirt incident, and I've watched this a fair bit on YouTube, is that dude, right? And it is, if you want to look this up, it's quite a lengthy title, not very catchy, but it's extortionist stabbing a shop owner's tire, has it blow up in his face. You seen that?
No.
A great little vignette of modern life. A shop owner says, no, I'm not giving you money to the man who has a knife. So the thug goes outside and stabs a shop's truck tire.
I'll play
and
it.
Within a tenth of a second, there's no audio. His fucking arm's broken and his shirt's off. Blew his shirt off. Really good. Didn't think it through.
Oh.
A lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, that's a big car.
It's a truck. It's the truck that belongs to the shop.
Yeah.
Stab the tire with just a steak knife or something. Fucking bang. Oh.
Oh, a lot of blood. A lot of blood on the old pavement.
You slow it down. His arm doesn't look great.
Yeah.
And his shirt comes off. That's the quickest shirt takeoff I've ever seen.
That should be in Vegas. That's a trick. That should be in Copperfield show. I'm going to stab this tire and then I'll be shirtless. Yeah. Fuck off, David. There's no way. You can't do that.
Oh. So anyway.
So is that one of your favorite YouTube videos?
Well, I mean, probably in the top 100 if I had to name 100.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched a lot of fucking YouTube, I have to say. Since this started, 4 or 5 episodes. I've watched a lot of fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
And that just popped up and I thought, yeah, I'm having that. Pretty good.
Yeah. Is it I love to, a lot of comments.
Yeah.
A lot of comments.
Good. Anyway, Stephen Boyd Jones. He's then verbally abused everyone else on the flight, threatening to kill them.
Why not?
The pilot thought, you know, enough is enough, a term that has always irritated me since I was a boy. Of course it is. The phrase should be enough is exactly as it's fucking defined in any dictionary. There's little need to say that it is what it is. So he's diverted the flight to beautiful Townsville, Queensland to drop Steve off to the police. And that's when they found the 21-centimeter steak knife in Steve's carry-on luggage. Sizable knife.
Again, much like our first episode where we talked about the guys that were going to Phuket and they got diverted to Bali.
Yeah.
I reckon a lot of people hopped off that flight just not knowing they hadn't made it to Darwin.
Still there since 2014. Going, fuck, Darwin's not too bad actually. It's more palm trees than I thought.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
A lot of Queensland fans here in the middle of the year.
Yeah. He's got a steak knife on board. He's obviously at the Brekkie Creek Hotel early that morning before getting on in Brisbane, just hacking into an overpriced, well-done sirloin covered in cheese and prawn sauce or something.
Yeah.
At dawn.
With toppers.
Yeah, with toppers.
A few toppers.
Okay. A Mornay topper.
You know what I realised? The Brekkie Creek Hotel in Brisbane, if a lot of people that listen may not have been there. It's a great old pub, but they're known for steaks and everything.
Mm.
And the only reason I think it's known as a steak place is because they have the steaks out in like a butcher-style window in one of the areas of the pub.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think these guys must know steak. There's a raw one.
Yeah. I think you'll find there's raw steaks everywhere. I'm not a fan of that, actually.
A little bit of fake grass? You don't like that at the butcher?
Well, I mean, just in terms of having to look at chefs and raw food, you shut the fucking door. I don't need to see the help. I'm trying to enjoy myself. Go cook my fucking meal. Bring it out when it's ready. The end. I don't want an open plan. They might pick their noses. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just bring me my food on the sly. I'll pretend that you didn't do it and the waiter or the waitress just brings it. Done.
Don't need to know.
Don't need to, it's all the ceremony.
You're not a what's it called? What are the, is it Japanese restaurant with like the hot plate and they fling you the food and you fucking catch a hot prawn in your mouth or whatever?
Oh, teppanyaki. What, in your mouth? You stand there with your mouth open like a dickhead.
I think Seppos. I've just seen that maybe on sitcoms or something.
Yeah, right. Fuck that.
I think it's bigger in the States, a hot plate. Anything sizzling is fucking bogans. If your meal's on fire, you're a fucking bogan.
What about the sizzling Mongolian lamb that turns up at your table? Standard. Just after the sweet and sour pork balls with the curly parsley on the side,
yeah,
you'll get a sizzling Mongolian lamb turn up. Don't touch it. It's a bit hot. It's still sizzling at the table. You go for that.
Lemon chicken and you cut through it and there's such a thin slice of chicken and everything else seems to just be batter.
Oh, yeah.
And then that fucking diabetes, that yellow diabetes.
Sort of traditional Australian Chinese used to blow my mind as a kid. The fried ice cream ball, I thought it was just a miracle of science.
Just the amount of fucking salt and MSG in there, it literally blew your mind.
Yeah.
That's why you loved it. Can't feel your tongue, your fucking toes are tingly. This is incredible.
I just, up until about 10 though, I couldn't understand a fried ice cream ball. I was like, what? This doesn't, this does not make sense.
Yeah.
It works and yet it shouldn't.
I still don't. I won't look into it. It's like those shows that show you how magic tricks work. Never going to watch them.
Because you go to magic shows and want to have a really good night. Anyway, the fallout from this, right, Steve, he's due to front court the next day on charges of assaulting crew, offensive and disorderly behaviour, possession of prohibited items on board an aircraft and carrying prohibited items through a screening point.
Yeah, not his fault. That's more half on Steve and then some people at the airport get fired.
Yeah, that's like that menial detail things that lawmakers nitpick. That's how they got Capone. Fucking get him on something he didn't really,
tax evasion or whatever.
Stamp fraud.
Yeah.
Tax evasion.
I love the Northern Region Crime Coordinator, acting superintendent, looked to get on a badge, Cheryl Scanlon.
Yeah.
Said the allegations, because on board an aircraft, were serious.
Yeah, right.
That's what I love about just Northern Australia, because common assault, threatening children, bashing staff, acceptable on the ground.
Of course.
But once you're in the sky, that's a crime now.
Yeah. Well, it's good for us. But Jonesy, though, he didn't turn up. His solicitor, Telford Anderson, said, Steve's not coming. He's having a lie-in.
By the way, how rough of a life for a bloke named Telford in Townsville?
Oh, I don't imagine it was great.
Telford's raising eyebrows in a Melbourne,
yeah.
Let alone fucking Townsville.
I'd hope it's like a posting, like cops have to go out to the country for the first few years or something. It needs to be like a public prosecutor sucked in, mate. Your name's Telford. You're going to North Queensland. That'll toughen you up.
What ties should I? You're not going to need a tie, mate.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're going to Townsville Magistrates Court. Do your shoes cover your toes? You're in front.
Steve, though, he'd rather just stay in jail than come to court.
Mm.
And they said, they said to Telford, did he instruct you about applying for bail? Nah, he told me to rack off. So, Steve, he just wanted to stay in jail. Adjourned. He obviously just wanted food and shelter for a little while on the dime of Mr. and Mrs. T. Payer. Eventually, they coaxed Stephen out of his cell in March of the next year, at which point he pleaded guilty to everything.
But also said to the magistrate, did you hear what he said to the magistrate? Did you see this?
What?
He said he only remained in Townsville Magistrates Court yesterday for a few minutes, but left an impression after asking the prosecutor, you opposing bail or not? Just love that.
Yeah.
Bloke on the front foot. Enough of this fucking jibber jabber.
Yeah.
Oi, cunt in the wig. Am I going home or am I here? Let's cut the fucking malarkey. Hit the hammer. Let's get the result.
Yeah.
Skip to the end.
I've always liked that as a thing for authorities. What do you fucking want?
That MS-13 is a huge gang in America, MS-13.
No.
Like Bloods and Crips level, MS-13, massive, massive gang. And apparently the leader of MS-13, this is like 10 years ago, killed. He's in there for fucking murder, drugs, everything, and stands up in court and they start reading his things and he just got his dick out and pissed over all the papers on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, there's something awesome about, well.
In for a penny.
Now clean this up.
Yep. Fuck yeah.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
He's the defense lawyer said that to the best of his ability, it's talking about Stephen, he regrets what happened and that the verbal attacks were empty threats. That's the problem with life, isn't it? It's misinterpretation. People should aim to get better at reading the room. I mean, 10-year-olds should know when an adult says they're going to snap their neck that they're probably not going to.
Just joshing.
Yeah. I mean, when a larrikin says he's going to fucking kill a flight attendant, she should know he's not serious, especially if, as Stephen pointed out, she's a prostitute in her spare time. She should be well aware of the things that deep down heart of gold types say.
Yeah.
Like Stephen.
Yeah.
And they don't really mean it.
Surely she just looked at him and his "I'm with stupid" t-shirt and thought, hold on, this guy.
You get in the fast lane in Darwin. If you turn up with a novelty shirt with stupid shit written on it, you go, there's a fast lane for that.
Yeah.
Don't have to go through the regular checks.
They'd probably call ahead and say, can we arrest this guy? It's an FBI agent. No, sorry. Female body inspector. Upon closer look at this t-shirt.
You know, the best shirt of that ilk has got to be of all time.
No.
And you must have seen one. I haven't seen one for decades, to be honest. You'd have some balls wearing this, but it's sex instructor first lesson free.
Oh.
One of the best. Next time we have a bet and you lose, you're wearing one of them.
100%.
In Melbourne.
Oh, the gala.
Oh, man. That'd be sick. Imagine going on telly with that. They'd cut you out,
oh,
unfortunately.
Of course. Yeah.
You'd get the best set ever. They'd fucking cut that. Oh, so good.
Maybe they'd blur it. But you'd know. You'd fucking know. I always love those t-shirts are on the blokes with the, just those late middle-aged blokes with the just unhealthy rigs. You know what I mean? It's a swollen ankled man getting around in an FBI t-shirt.
That's what's so funny. Like it wouldn't be anywhere near funny if it was some pumped up fucking gym head getting around with a stupid shirt like that.
Yeah.
Well, it would be to me, but generally it's just fat dickheads just shirts like that. So good.
Well, it's almost funnier. It's funnier to have it printed on a t-shirt rather than that clearly being the attitude that you're giving off to everybody else.
Yeah.
My wife and I looking at places, and the real estate agent, we met one the other day, he had this super tight fade, and we met him on a Monday. And I said, man, fresh haircut. He said, really? Oh, sorry, man. Good joke. I got it done on Friday. They give me shit at the office because I get it done every Friday. So he's just rocking around in suits and then getting a fade before going to a nightclub.
I tell you what, if I turn up at a fucking inspection, and he'd be fucking horizontal now still. But you don't need to. That's appalling.
Woo! I dress myself in cashmere. Woo! Woo!
You know what we better chuff off. But you know what the real story behind all this was, the actual culprit? You must be aware of this. Stephen, he didn't take his medication before getting on the plane.
Oh, no.
So it looks like we've gotten to the bottom of it yet again.
Was the medication a healthy diet over 35 years?
he was fined $800 and let out immediately because he'd already been in jail since the incident. Time already served. Shut up, everyone.
Well, how long did he stay in there for? Just hanging out?
Oh, months. Like, it was September, March. So fucking nearly 6 months. Just went, fuck it. Don't tell me where to go.
There's some. I'm not a fan of his of how he's conducted himself on board the aircraft. And it's sad that he's obviously missed his medication. And I, in no way agree with what he's done on the plane, but he doesn't have much going on, does he? If you can just get diverted and stay in a jail for 6 months and then leave and go, all right, what a chilled operator.
I mean, as an attitude, I don't mind it. Like, it's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm here now. Spend 6 months here. Pretty good. Not many of us in a position to do that.
Oh,
So live your life while you can, everyone.
Fuck yeah. Especially if you don't have kids, get on a plane today.
See what happens.
I'd love 6 months by myself hanging out.
In Shannon, yeah.
Oh, in Shannon.
6 months in Shannon.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Fly Brawl. Heggy, fucking gigs are back. Places are opening and shutting, but we're getting around. Where are you?
Well, the travel's hard. I'm still touch and go if I'm going to be in places like Perth very soon, North Queensland. But I've got a show at the Comedy Store, I believe, tomorrow night. But it might be very close to sold out, so sucked in, Sydney, if you're there and you're trying to get tickets. If not, then whatever.
Well, get in there, because obviously you'd never say it, but you're one of the best comedians in the fucking world. I love your shit. And the Sydney Comedy Store is one of the best comedy venues on the planet. Get there. March, though, March 9 to 13, we're going to be at the Adelaide Fringe Festival.
Oh, damn straight.
We're going to be doing solo shows at the Rhino Room there. So yeah. nickcody.com.au for tickets, and lukeheggie.com.au or just .com?
No, man, just .com. Not a lot of Luke Heggies trying to rock comedy in the world, let alone own websites.
I don't know who got Nick Cody, but I'm fucking furious. March 19th, Gold Coast Laughs Festival. I think we're doing the same night there as well.
Yeah, man. I think all our tours are arranged together. And in fact, there should be some live podcasting going on, but no promises because of borders.
Yeah, live pod dates coming out soon. It's looking like the first ones will be Melbourne and Adelaide. But keep an eye out on the socials. We'll let everybody know. Thanks, everyone, for listening and telling your mates and all the messages and all the Patreon subscribers. Get on there, patreon.com/midflightbrawl if you want some extra episodes. We've got a spin-off pod, Land Larrikins, that's out every fortnight. And I really feel like I'm in a rush to say this because this fucking 8.8%er is creeping up.
No, you're right, but we can slow it down in the edit.
I'm sick. I know, I feel like you may have to speed it up if I go any longer.
Okay.
This cunt is slurring. At Mid-Flight Brawl on Instagram. Get amongst it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.